December 22, 2009, Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study Lesson Number 120, within it the special series within the series of Obedience to God or Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 32. Open your Bibles to Genesis Chapter 3. We're going to deal with the second section and the concepts of Adam's cultural documentation to show and teach the cultural basis for it that we saw. We saw that the entire first section is concerned with the age of innocence, divided into three parts consisting of the introduction, two parts covering the two mini ages. Section one began with the introduction, which we went through in the last class. Section 1, Part 2 is a discourse of the first mini age, which was the mini age of individuality when Adam was living alone in the Garden of Eden. We saw that in the last class. And we saw the section dealing with Adam's documentation of the age of individuality, which concluded when he described Jehovah's Elohim's creation of Eve, and it took us through the testing under the beginning of the testing under the law of marriage. The last point we gave you was the second section deals with the subject of original sin, is divided in two divisions consisting of before original sin and after original sin. This is where we're going to pick up with today. We're living in a strange age. We're living in an age where many people, though with all the high education they have, are going back the other way. I was sent a book by my longtime pastor friend, Dr. Hugh Crowder, called What Are Christmases and Easter's All About, written by John R. Cross and translated into easy English by Beth Weens. And it says inside it, the purpose of this book is to, what is this book all about? The purpose of this book is to explain the most important stories in the Holy Bible. When you bring them, that is up to you. My responsibility to make the stories as clear as possible. I wrote this book using easy English, which means all ages can benefit from it. If English is a difficult language for you to read, this book will be helpful. Words in italics are located in the glossary on page 78. On pages 74 and 77 are sections from the Bible that you can also read as they connect to the stories. As you read this book, you may want to know more about the Bible. On page 80 is a list of books that you can purchase. You can also read them free on the website. These books are not easy English, but they have more information in them. What is easy English? Easy English has limited some vocabulary and the sentences must not be complex. The spelling and grammar follow fixed rules. The purpose is to make the book easy to read and simple to understand. He goes on to thank the Wycliffe Association's United Kingdom for their part in the book and for creating the easy English standards. Easy English. I understand easy English because of the fact that we have a large number of immigrants in this country today. And while English is a second language to many of them, it's not as clear as their native tongue. This is understandable. Second languages often are not as clear, particularly when you get into complexities of the language, as the natural language that a person uses. However, many Americans need easy English because they live on the short, chopped up portion of grammar vocabularies of email. I'm not exactly sure what Twitters are, but I get the idea from what I understand, or a little I've understood of it or read about it. It's something that you have to keep brief and short for what they're doing. You have all the other ways of electronic communication. We've lost the idea of deep thinking. We've lost the idea of utilizing complexity. A language. and depth of language. We're living in a simplicity world in many ways today. Don't bore me with facts. Don't bore me with details. Because the Word of God is a complex document, because it gives us the Father's plan as revealed in the days of Adam, down to the introduction of a dispensation of the fullness of times, which lies in the future after the destruction of the old heavens and the old earth and the introduction of the new heavens and the new earth. We all need to learn to think in a more complex way. We need to learn to use the brain that God has given us. And to make full usage of the scriptures that He has set before us. Before we begin, let's pause for solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit, having no known unconfessed sin in your life. And transfer your thinking down to serious concentration on the study of the Word of God. Oh God and Father, we thank You for the privilege of teaching Your Word, for Your Word is absolute truth. We thank You that our voice is still able to teach. Thank You that we still have the clarity of mind to teach. We pray You'll continue to allow us to study and teach the Word of God until You're ready to take us home to glory, the death and the rapture, but Your will be done. We thank You for those who choose to study under our ministry. We pray You'll encourage them, strengthen them. Father, we pray that they'll not only take in the doctrine and learn it, but they'll apply it. They'll shape their thinking in their life on a moment by moment and day by day basis. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide them, that they will clearly understand that which is absolute truth, because it's found in the Word of God. Protect them from any poor communication that I might have, or anything that I might not have correctly understood. We only want them to understand truth, Father. Comes from Your Word. In Christ's name we pray, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, section 2, which would be point 6. Division 1 deals with the close of the Age of Innocence. It's divided into 3 parts. Ishiah and the Satan indwell circling in conjunction with the pacifistic attitude of Adam is found in Genesis 3, chapter 1 to 5. Genesis 3, 1 to 5. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. From the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die." You surely shall not die. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Right after chapter 2, verse 15. Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And verses 19 and 20. Now the ground of our God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. God created God owns everything. Jehovah Elohim, or Yahweh Elohim, if you prefer the title of that, is eternally good, perfect, and always in all things is righteous and just. You and I look around us at the beauty of nature, the beautiful flowers, trees, and plants. I'm sorry. Apology, I couldn't get to the button to stop the tape quick enough. Our weather's been running wild out here. We were up to over 50 yesterday, around 50. Now in the city where I was, a little cooler out here. We're back down, freezing now this morning, just above freezing. As I was saying, you go and examine things. You go into a grocery store and look at the banana. Look at a guava. Look at a mango. Look at an apple, an orange, a peach, a pear, a lemon, strawberry, blackberry, blueberries, boysenberries. Compare them with tomatoes, with corn, with sweet peas, with lima beans, with okra, with asparagus, cauliflower, broccoli, all the various differentiations that you see. All these things came from the bountiful grace and through the wisdom of Almighty God. A cup of coffee in front of me to keep my throat liquid, fired a little bit, moistened up. Coffee is a grace gift from friends. It's part coffee and part chicory. Going back to where I grew up in the Deep South a long ago, comes out of a community coffee company down in Louisiana. Not for money and advertisement for them. Chicory, of course, are the beans of the sassafras. The roots my mother used to boil, and we would make tea, and maybe she would make tea out of it to give us, particularly this time of the year, it was healthy for her. A long time I had sassafras tea. We used to have fresh sassafras tea made out of the boiled roots. Coffee ground up and mixed that way. Well, God created the sassafras. He created chicory. He created coffee. Beans. We don't live in a black and white world. We live in a very colorful, beautiful world, and God created all those things. We have all the different animals. Dogs, cats, cows, sheep, goats, pigs, deer, elk, moose, bear, coyote. Just to name a few. Sheep, goats. All these wonderful things came down from the bountifulness of God. Now God is omnipresent in creation, and He is the Creator God, so all things in creation belong to God. People always think about that way, but everything belongs to God. The fish in the sea belong to God. They do not belong to God. He has made them available to man, but they do not belong to man. God is the creator of them. God is the sustainer of them. How many times over the years have you sat in a Bible class under me? Down on a tape recorder. And heard me quote Colossians. Chapter 1. I'll read it to you from the New American Standard for a change of translation. And it was before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Everything belongs to God. God is in control and operational. Romans 11:36, I've quoted you many times for it. King James translation, for them and through them and through them are all things to Him be glory forever. Amen. used to sing a little song many years ago. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth and all the land. He is my father, so they're mine as well. Just a little chorus for children. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created the sun, the moon, and all of the stars, and all the galaxies, and all of the solar systems. They came under his authority and his creative rule. He put Adam into a garden. He brought all the animals to Adam to look at. He brought all the birds, the colorful birds. And we don't, you look back at the bird like the little of what birds developed, how God developed these subspecies of birds after the flood. Versus the birds available during it before the flood. But we do know that we can have subspecies. Just as we have subspecies of our language. Scripture says man shall be learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth. We go back and we study the Proto-Indo-European Aryan language as we go back. The concept after the flood, and we find that out of Magog comes the Baltic Slavic languages, which divide into two, the Baltic, which developed over Prussian, Lithuania, and Latvian, and the Slavic, which got into East Slavic and developed into Russian, Belarusian, and Ukrainian, South Slavic, which was Old Church Slavonic, Bulgarian, Macedonian, Serbo-Croatian, Slovene, West Slavic, which was Wendish, Polish, Slavic, and Czech. We saw a lot of it from Gomer in the Teutonic, which developed in the Germanic. The North German was the Old North, Icelandic and Old Icelandic, and the Ferozi. And the Norwegian, Middle Norwegian, the Old Norwegian to the Middle Norwegian to the Modern Norwegian, the Old Swedish to the Middle Swedish to the Modern Swedish, the Old Danish to the Middle Danish to the Modern Danish. And the West German came the Old English to the Middle English to the English. The Old Frisian to the Frisian. The Old Dutch to the Middle Dutch to Dutch, Flemish, and Afrikaans. That's some South Africa. From the West Germanic, you had the Old Low German to the Middle German to the Low, Middle Low German to Low German. Old High German to Middle High German to High German and Yiddish. Yiddish, of course, is the spoken language of the Jewish people from the German. And you had the East Germanic, which developed the Gothic, which came off the Germanic. And you had through Grammar the Celtic, the Gaelic, from which we get the Galatians, which is Irish Gaelic and Scottish Gaelic, the Max. Then from the Brythonic, you get the Welsh, Cornish, Breton, and Gaelish. From the Toto, Feliscan, you get the Feliscan, and you get the Latin. Out of Latin comes the Portuguese, Spanish, Catalan, the provisional. Brazil, the French, the Italian, the Proto-Romanic, and the Romania. And you get out of the Italic also the Osco-Umbrian, which gives us Osco and Umbrian. From the Tocacarian, we developed the Tocacarian A and B. From the Mad Eye, we got the Indian Iranian, from that came the Dalek to the Dard, then the Indic to the Sanskrit, which gave us the Sinhai, the Romani, the Urdu, the Hindu, the Bahara, the Assamese, the Bengali, the Maratha, the Nuyarita, the Punjabi, and the Halisi. From the Iranian division of the Indo-Iranian, which is separate clearly from the Dalek and the Indic, just like the German is, Germanic is, from the Balto-Slavic, the Celtic, and the Italic. And then we get the Pashto, the Baluchi, the Kurdish, the Sidon, and myself with Blanche, the Alistian. And the Old Persian, those splinters unlike the others, the Alistian, the Sidon, the Kurdish, the Baluchi, and the Pashto, the Old Persian splits off into the Pahlavi one way, the Middle Persian, Persian another. Then you have separately from all of those, separate from the Tikrur, the Indo-Iranian, the Germanic, and the Balto-Slavic, you have the Anatolian. which came to Hittite, Levium, Lydium, and Lassium. Then you have directly going back to the Aryan Proto-Indo-European, you have also the Phrygian, the Armenian, the Hellenic, which came through Java and the Greek, the Thracian, the Albanian, the Aryan. All these have been broken down, the Indo-European family of languages, which are obviously the mother descendants from the original language. The original language goes back to Japheth, when God confused the languages. If you study the Indo-European languages and you study the roots of the English language behind it, you begin to understand these things. Now, why did I bother to read you all of that? To show you that I'm an intellectual in languages? No. To point out to you that life is separable, yet life is complex. The modern English we have has been coming down to us in quite a way. English is a complex language in every sense of the word. And even though we can sit and look at the English language and identify its historical background, at the same time we have to understand the complexity of the language that developed out. We speak of the Anglo-Saxons. The Anglo-Saxons are part of the Germanic tribes. We speak of the Franks, the Norman Franks, from which Franks is where France comes from, which conquered England under William the Conqueror in 1066, if my memory serves me right. I may be slightly off on the date, but I think that's the right date for it. And brought their version of the Germanic language into what became the modern English language. When we say that English came from Middle English, from Middle English, we speak of it coming out of and developing from the West Germanic. We have to go back and realize that it has been greatly influenced by Latin, by Hebrew, and by Greek, and it merged in it because English is a very, very fluid language. So our language is very simple, but yet it's very complex. We go back and study the root of the words and what they mean. Well, when we study the Bible, we find that God dealt in simplicity, and yet God dealt clearly, in detail. Adam examined all of the animals. Sub-point 1, the Son had given Adam the authority and responsibility as his stand-in federal head, his prince regent, to guard the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Shamar, the word keep, S-H-A-M-A-R, means to guard, military term, to be on watch. Jehovah Elohim, or Yahweh Elohim, if you prefer, assigned certain authority to Adam in the garden. So then Adam had absolute authority over the animal kingdom, Genesis 1:28-30. And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the fowl, birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves in the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree with has fruit yielding seed that shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every good plant for food." And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Evening in the morning, the sixth day. Jehovah Elohim put Adam into a garden, but he given him authority over the whole earth, over all the animals of the earth. The beautiful world that God had created was placed there under the authority of man. And we must understand something. God is not the author of confusion. He keeps everything systematically in order. The sun, the moon, the stars all have their proper place in the plan of God. Everything is the same. Think how confusing it would be if God did not run a system of order out there. quoting from What Are Christmas and Easter All About by John R. Cross. He makes it very simple, so I'll make it simple for you. The Bible also tells us that Yahweh likes things being done in the right way. They got confusing it would be if the sun set one afternoon and then rise again for 3 days. That is why God made rules. He made the rule for the sun. It was to rise in the morning and go down in the evening. It was to do that every day without changing. God makes rules for everything. He created that the world would work in the right way. God makes rules for people too. Sometimes we do not like rules. We just stop and think for a minute what the world would be like without them. Driving a car would be dangerous if there were no stop signs, with no rules telling us what side of the road to drive on, everyone would be confused. Without rules, our life would be very difficult. The man God made rules because he knows what is best for us. He knows that when we do things in the right way, we're happy and safe. This is just another way that Yahweh shows us his love for us. The Bible says that when God made the world, everything was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. It was good in every way. The Lord Yahweh created a perfect world. Because that is the way he is. He never does anything wrong. He is perfect. God's heaven is also perfect. We call it heaven. The Bible tells heaven is very beautiful. It's like an enormous park with trees and a river. But right in the middle of this park is a beautiful, safe city. The city is so wonderful, God even made the streets out of gold. Heaven are the rarest to pain to death. There are no weeds or poisonous plants. In heaven, nothing is ever broken or wears out. No bad or unkind people live there. Everyone is always happy. Heaven is full of beautiful music. The animals are tame and friendly. You never have to sleep in heaven because there's no darkness or night. It's always day. Heaven is a perfect place where perfect people and perfect angels live with a perfect God. Heaven is so wonderful it's hard to describe. That's the simplicity with which they put and explain the concepts of God's creation's responsibility. I want to read you the system that relates to order. God has a system of order. The sun was placed in authority over the animal kingdom. 3:3, the sun had personally made Adam acquainted with every animal on the earth, and Adam had examined them and named them, Genesis 2:19-28. And out of the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what they would call him, and whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. So therefore, Adam knew that the serpent could not speak the Adamic language and could not reason as man reasons. Think about that. Adam knew that the serpent couldn't do it. 4:5. Adam's federal headship is manifested by his having been created first and sanctioned by the son's training, made him the spiritual and temporal leader in the marriage. Genesis 2:4-25, if we won't take time to read all of that, with chapter 1:26b-30, compared to 1 Timothy 2:13, which we will read. 1 Timothy 2:13, reading from the New American Standard. It was Adam who was first created and then Eve. Sometimes I forget to tell you what translation I have, and sometimes I give you my translations because I've used it so often over so many years. For example, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for teaching. King James translation, the way I memorized it so long ago, I've translated it my way that I can't have to look it up. All scriptures given the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, now God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the original Greek, I exegete it out to read this way, all scripture. That's the entire canon of scripture of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the last Amen of Revelation. All scripture is God breathed, literally what inspiration means. Of God. All scripture is God breathed and is profitable to the believer for doctrinal teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't always tell you that that's my translation. I probably should do that, but I'm trying to get so much teaching in such a short time. Now, Adam was an authority. Psalm 6, Adam should have seized the serpent, held him a prisoner until the sun came for his daily evening visit with them. Verse 7, they could have asked the son, what did you do with the talking serpent that challenged the word of the living God? Adam knew the serpent was speaking lies. It says he was not deceived in 1 Timothy 2:14. A. Adam was not deceived. Verse 14a says, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman. Alright, point B, then this brings us to the thinking and actions of Isha, the wife. Adam is Ish, I-S-H. The wife is Isha, I-S-H-A, Isha, beautiful name. So point one, Isha attempted self-improvement and self-promotion through human viewpoint and self-delusion. Isha attempted self-improvement and self-promotion through human viewpoint and self-delusion. Delusion, Genesis 3, 6a. When the woman saw the tree was good. Now first the conversation with Satan. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall eat of any of the trees of the garden. He called God a liar. The woman said to the serpent, from the tree of the trees of the garden now we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. God has said, we can't touch it. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't eat of it. Also, it was not in the middle of the garden. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. It said, just off center from it. Eve was deceived by Satan. She allowed herself to come under deception. She bought the satanic lie. Satan said, and the serpent said, there you surely shall not die. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing what is good and evil. And 1 Timothy 2:15 says, 2:14b says, but the woman being quite deceived fell in the transgression. But the woman shall be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-treatment. That's not the Mormon system where a mother gets her, that you only become saved if you are a mother and have children and procreate. The more children you have, the more saved you are. No. Not at all. This means it means three things. One, it relates to the mother being brought safely through childbirth. For our material life is a reminder that we're saved through the birth of the child, Jesus, the Savior. And thirdly, that the woman can find her greatest achievement, her greatest happiness, her devotion, her responsibility as a wife and a mother, to help her husband to bear children, to follow a faithful, chaste way of life. Isha was deceived. 1 John 2 16. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world system. Pride of life is vainglory displayed or boastfulness about one's possessions. Alright, Esau's temptation of Adam, and apparently the act of original sin, becomes the issue. He was deceived by Satan, as we saw sub-4a, 1 Timothy 2:14b. B, the sin was not just eating forbidden fruit. It was a sin of disobeying the revealed word of God, believing Satan's lies and placing their own wills above the will of God. The sin was not just eating forbidden fruit. It was a sin of disobeying the revealed will of God. They were forbidden to eat of the fruit. Eve believing Satan's lies. Adam did not believe it. Eve's role in the transgression was Eve believing Satan's lies. And Adam and Eve both placing their own wills above the will of God. C, see, Adam did not believe Satan's lies, but like Eve, he disobeyed the revealed will of God and used his volition to manifest his own self-will above divine will. B, sin with all of its terrible consequences entered the Adamic human race and the world in general. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as to one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Verse 7. Section 2, Division 2, deals with the close of the Age of Innocence, divided into six sections. Adam's original act of sin and all of the ramifications that came out of it. Now we're dealing with very detailed doctrine we've covered more times than one. Notice what Eve did. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. It wasn't poisonous. It had merit in it. And that it was a light to the eyes. It had aesthetic beauty. The tree was desirable to make one wise. It was a deception. You can't eat of anything magical. There's no magic pill to make us wise. She took from the fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. All right, so we see then under the principle, I'm sorry, I gave you the three sub-points, that sin was not just eating forbidden fruit, but the sin of disobeying the revealed will of God, believing Satan's lies, and placing their own wills above the will of God. Secondly, Adam did not believe Satan's lies, but like Eve, he disobeyed the revealed will of God and used his volition to manifest his own self-will above divine will. And three, sin with all of its terrible consequences entered the Adamic human race and the world in general. First principle of importance, though, is sin entered the spirit world during the dispensation of angels, and satanic evil had been the fruit of angelic sin. Isaiah 14, 12 to 17, one more time. To remind you, sin was already in the angelic world. Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. But you say in your hearts, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, I will ascend above the height of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness, overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? Ezekiel 28:11-19. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, you have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are leading the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and the sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways on the day that you were created, and that unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were entirely filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covered cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, and the lashes of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you that has consumed you, and I will turn you to ashes on the earth. The eyes of all who see, all who know you, among the people are appalled at you. You have become terrified. Satan occupied a special place of prevalence in guarding the throne of God. And Adam committed sin. Adam was created blameless in a sense of law, status, and integrity. By creation, Satan was perfect. But pride was his downfall. 1 Timothy 3:6, Isaiah 14:13-14. Satan's judgment announced these verses will not be consummated until he is cast in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10. Sin entered into the world. Quoting from What Are Christmas and Easter All About by Cross again, after Yahweh finished making his perfect earth, something terrible happened. God's most important angel became unhappy. The angel's name was Lucifer, which means the shining one. God had created him to do a special job. And when Lucifer began to think he deserved something better, he did not want to be an angel any longer. I would say spirit being, but I'll use their simplicity of language. He wanted to be an authority. Lucifer decided he deserved to be God. Since he did not want to follow God's rules, Lucifer made his own rules. He talked with the other angels in the fight against Yahweh. They wanted to ruin everything, which made heaven a very unhappy place. The Bible uses a special word to describe Lucifer's choice to go against God. The Bible calls this sin. To sin means to decide not to follow God's rules. When you do this, you're telling the Lord that you think you know better than he does. Sin spoils things and always hurts somebody. We know this is true. We see a person carry out a crime and disobey a law. It hurts somebody. The officials catch the criminal. They punish him. He has to pay money or go to prison. That is only fair. It is not right for people to be wicked and somehow avoid punishment. In the same way, the Bible tells us that God is always fair. He does not like it when people sin. He knows that sin always hurts someone. He punishes all sin, which is just right amount of punishment. It's never too little and never too much. Yahweh always does that which is right and fair. Lucifer and his angels hated God, did not want to obey him because Yahweh is perfect. He could not have these bad angels living with him in his perfect home. It was for heaven. Therefore, God threw them out and told them never to come back. God charged Lucifer's name to Satan, which means enemy. Satan was now an enemy of God. God made a new home for Satan and these bad angels because these angels were terrible. This new home was terrible because these angels were cruel and happy. This new home was a place of hurt and spare. The new home was an awful place called Lake of Fire. Those who live in this home live there forever. It's a bad place of punishment for Satan's bad angels. The angels followed Satan, choose to disobey God, having a lot more angels keep on obeying God and being his special servants. The good angels live with God, serve him in heaven, Yahweh's perfect home. Now, let's introduce us to the idea in very simplistic terms. What God was doing. I give it to you in a more complicated fashion. The Satanic Rebellion. The principle, Adam's direct defiance of Satan's sons mandate to not eat from the fruit of the tree of human good and satanic evil. Introduce mankind to the world of human good, to an unknown divine good. Genesis 2. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. First of all, Adam's direct defiance of the Son's mandate is to not eat from the fruit of the tree of human good and satanic evil also leads mankind to a world of satanic evil. 1 John 2:16, human good was introduced, and then satanic evil, 1 John 2:16. Is in the world, the lust of the eye, flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. That's the world system. Compare that to 1 John 5:19. We know the will of God, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. B. Sin produced spiritual death and separation from God, Genesis 3:7 with 2:17. 3:7, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Genesis 3:7, with 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Corrected translation of the Hebrew, dying thou shalt surely die. Principle, sin broke the fellowship that existed between the Holy Creator God and Adam. It is innocence. in his sinless innocence. Sin broke the fellowship that existed between the holy Creator God and Adam in his sinless innocence. Principal Adam was innocent and not holy because he did not understand sin, human good, and satanic evil with all their ramifications. Therefore, he could not reject them from a personal standard of righteousness. I repeat this important point. Adam was innocent and not only holy, and not holy because he did not understand sin, human good, and satanic evil with all their ramifications, and therefore he could not reject them from a personal standard of righteousness. We must understand this. And the book, What Are Christians These Are All About, in their simplicity, they put it this way. The Lord Yahweh did not tell Adam Eve everything about his plan or everything about his Savior. This is when it comes to the salvation concept, when he didn't tell him everything in the garden either. They sin. The simplicity book, they point out, has this to say in the simplicity I was reading in. The Bible says in the beginning when God made the world, it was like heaven. There were no tears, pain, or fear. There was no bad or unkind people. No one stole, lied, or killed. No sin of any kind. Best of all, nothing ever died. The world God made was a wonderful place to live. It was the way God wanted things to be. It was perfect. The people God created also were perfect. Only perfect people can live with a perfect God. The first man was named Adam and his wife was called Eve. Yahweh placed them in a beautiful garden he'd created. God allowed Adam and Eve to go to where they wanted. They could eat anything they liked, with one exception. God told them not to eat the fruit of one particular tree. If Adam and Eve and God obeyed the one rule, it would be sin. If they chose to sin, they would not be able to live with Yahweh. Following this rule was not difficult for Adam and Eve. There were plenty of fruit trees in the garden. Obeying God, Adam and Eve showed the Lord Yahweh that they believed in him. They trusted that he knew what was best. This was what God wanted. Yahweh was saying, trust me. This is how it was in the beginning. Perfect people trusting a perfect God in a perfect world. When Satan came to a beautiful garden, he told Adam and Eve that Yahweh was hiding something good from them. Satan told them they should eat the fruit of one tree, then they would be like God. When Satan told the truth, they would lie to them. What should Adam and Eve do? If they believed Satan, they would eat of the fruit. If they believed God, they would not. Whom should they believe? Yahweh or Satan? Whom should they trust? Adam and Eve began to think being perfect in God's perfect garden was not enough. They wanted more. They wanted to be like Yahweh. Therefore, they did the one thing God told them not to do. They ate. Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie. That's why I disagree with from the book, because Adam did not believe it. They thought that Satan knew better than God. Eve did. Adam didn't. That God didn't. What was good for them. They disobeyed God is one easy rule and joined with Satan against Yahweh. Alright, principle. Adam's original sin was immediately followed by a deep sense of guilt. So the principle, they attempt to use man-made clothing over their genitals to cover the internal problem of sin was the first act of human good as an attempt by mankind to make atonement for our sins. Principle, man by man's actions cannot atone for human sin. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Acts 3:10-12, and they knew that it was he which set at arms in the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed told Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. That is called Solomon's Great Wondering. When Peter saw it, he asked the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye earnestly as though by our own power and holiness we had made the man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, that glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just and desiring murderer, to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, wherein we are witnesses. chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth man stand. This man standing before you, this is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24. Unto where you call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, not again. When he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteousness, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Speaking of spiritual healing. Psalm 1:2, sin caused Adamic human mankind to fear God and to seek to hide from him. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Possibly Adam's original sin immediately produced a state of positional total depravity in the Adamic human race. Romans 1:18-20. Positional human depravity immediately occurred. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, having understood truth. What has been made so that they are without excuse. Here we see from chapter 1 verse 18 through chapter 3 verse 20 is God's indictment of the world system. Surely our man needs the righteousness of God. God's suppression of sin, evil man is condemned because truth was given to him, verses 19 and 20, and caused by his actions rejected, verses 21 to 32. Adam understood what was going on. Prosper man seeks to hide his sins from God through sublimation as he practices human secular good, moral depravity, or human religious good, religious depravity. Moral depravity is seen in Romans 2:17-29. Romans 2. A typographical error here. Moral depravity is seen in Romans chapter 2, verses 1-2. Let me give you the right number of verses here. These computers, you know, write over sometimes and take stuff out. When you start to correct something, I don't always catch it. Romans 2, 1-16 deals with moral depravity. Religious depravity is seen in Romans 2, verses 17-29. How is it reflected by God in Genesis chapter 3? What did they do? They made the fig leaves to cover themselves, remember? And the eyes of them both were open, Genesis 3:7. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Principle, man seeks to hide himself from God through sublimation and enters into a state of experiential total depravity through maximum sinning. This is immoral depravity, Romans 1:21-32. Adam felt his immorality, so he went and made some fig leaves to cover his genitals. That was morality. And then he hid from God to show fear for God. That was religion. All three concepts of morality of depravity were seen. The degeneracy with the moral degeneracy, immoral degeneracy, and religious degeneracy all come out of positional total depravity. Adam and I experienced depths of depravity and a sucking degeneracy. Or as he could sink in spiritual degeneracy, but he was positionally totally depraved. Principally, spiritual total depravity is a downward turn of the soul to the center and can be manifest in the lowest form of sin and wrong and moral degeneracy, or in the highest form of human secular good, moral degeneracy, or human religious good, religious degeneracy. Romans 2:1 says it sums it all up. Therefore, you are without excuse. Every man of you passes judgment. For what you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you judge, practice the same thing. We're sitting folding our hands powerfully and look down at some sinner for what he's done. And condemn ourselves for what we have done. This brings us to subpoint C, the trial of Adam and Adam and Eve, before the sun, Genesis 3:9-18. Subpoint 1, the sun saw Adam through grace, Genesis 3:9. New American Standard, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" First of all, the Father has made all the provisions for human good, for human redemption. The Father has made all the provisions for human redemption through his eternal grace protocol for the ages. Therefore, all men are accountable for their relationship to the Son, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world that might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's King James translation in Revelation 20:11-15. I'll read to you from the New American Standard, the other I quoted, having memorized it so long ago. And I saw a great white throne, and him which sat upon it, for his presence, earth and heavens fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every one of them according to their deeds, and death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And everyone's name was not found written in the book of life. He was thrown into the lake of fire. Subpoint 2, Adam tried to hide from the sun, but failed to succeed. Genesis 3:10a. And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." 4 principles. Adam's original sin of intentionally disobeying the revealed will of God immediately produced additional mental attitudes, sins of guilt and fear. Adam sought to hide his personal sins in a sinful state from God, but nothing can be hidden from God. The Father only sees all of the overt sins committed daily by members of the human race, both saved and lost. He knows all the verbal sins, and by searching the mind and the heart, knows all the mental attitude sins. The Father, his omniscience, has always known every sinful thought, word, and deed, individually and in totality, that would ever be committed. Subpoint 3, Adam excused himself for running away from the sun on the grounds he was naked, Genesis 3:10b. Because I was naked, I hid myself. Adam and Eve had begun to feel their misery, but they did not seek God for remedy. Confusion, shame was engendered because innocence was lost and guilt contracted. First of all, when the sun confronted Adam, he was excused that he hid from the sun because he was physically naked. First of all, guilt confirmed Adam's soul that the fig leaves over his genitals could not cover up his sin problem. Now, Adam had been naked in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God the Son, for probably 1900 or so years. It had never bothered him until sin came in and was sin or guilt conscious. After all, God created him. God knew all about his body. This was his creator, God. The 7:10 gave Adam by asking him was the one who instructed him concerning human nakedness. The Son created Adam and Eve, supposed to be naked in their state of sinless innocence. There was no shame concerning their naked condition, Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and went out of shame. So the Son interrogates him. He says, "Who told you you were naked?" Adam and Eve had seen each other naked for perhaps 900 or more years. Adam was naked in the garden for perhaps 1,000 years before the sun gave Eve to him. A, in their son's condition, they had been clothed in light because they were created in the sun's image and likeness, which was a robe of purity, innocence, and righteousness that reflected the honor and glory of God. B, Adam sinned against God's light of truth and love for his created race. C, the Father had blessed them with the clearest light of truth and the dearest love that ever sinner sinned against. D, Adam's original sin destroyed their covering of light, which was reflecting the honor and glory of God. E, the clothing of light had not prevented them as a married couple from seeing each other's naked bodies, appreciating the beauty that God had given them and the purity of their soul. And we just ran out of time. We'll pick up here in the next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. Your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise that will not return void, that will accomplish what you designed it for. Sanctified and blessed, we ask you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen.